Hello and welcome to the Leaning Out with Dr. Chris podcast, where we talk about this lean journey that we're on. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We hope you enjoy our stories. Hello and welcome to another episode of Leaning Out with Dr. Chris. Today you just get me. No visitors and no guest people on the podcast, just me. One thing that's been interesting for me over the past couple years is the fact that everybody I work with, or at least everybody I think, can't find people. And so we're having a hard time filling spots that traditionally we haven't had a hard time filling. And it's led to an increase, at least on my part, of looking at machines and trying to understand, can we take care of those better? Because we certainly don't want those machines breaking down. I think a lot has changed over the past 20 years when at the beginning, automation, we were looking at how do we have a person do that instead of a machine, because it was easier to flux capacity. You know, you could add people in, take people out without having to buy a new machine. But as time has gone by, we're really looking at a labor shortage, and that's just not as easy to do. And then I've heard the term before, if it's dark, dangerous, or dull, that maybe that's the time that we need to automate. And I've always said with the people that I work with, okay, if you want to automate, that's fine, all right? But it's got to do two things. One, it has to run. I think too many times we try to automate processes and we aren't honest with ourselves and how much uptime that's actually going to run. And so it has to run. That's, I'm sure many of you out there listening to this podcast have had a machine come in that we've tried to automate and we've been told that it will run at a high uptime and we can't ever get it to work. It's a programming issue, or it's the machine can't do it exactly right. But then on the flip side, right, we've had some that work great. So rule number one is it has to work. If we're going to automate something, it has to work. And then rule number two, it has to get me something. So is that better quality? Is that a safer environment? Is that more productivity? But I think sometimes we try to automate just for the sake of automation, and it's really got to get us something. Having said all of that, how do we deal with our automation? That's the big question of the day here. How do I make sure that my machines run? Too many times we do preventive maintenance when the machine's already broken down. So how does a small to medium-sized manufacturer put together a plan so their machines will run better? And what I've been implementing recently is what we call a machine health plan. And that machine health plan really looks at a machine and tries to figure out, how do I put a plan together to make sure that that machine stays healthy? As many of you have been through our 12-step training, I say all the time that we just want to keep that market healthy. We don't want it to be full. We don't want it to be empty. We just want it to be healthy. And as we look at machines, there's a lot of that same thought process that goes into that. How do I keep that machine healthy? And I break it down into a couple pieces. Well, I guess it would actually be three pieces, maybe four, depending on how you break them up. But number one is proactive maintenance. What are those simple things that I can do to make sure that that machine doesn't break down for something simple? And I think about it like this way. I've got two daughters. They're both in college now, but you know, when they're teenagers, if the light in the bathroom goes off, I am going to the closest store to buy a light. And it doesn't matter what time it is, because I have to get that light and get it in there. However, if I would have changed that light bulb every time the time changes, then I would never have that problem. And that's what I think about when I think about proactive maintenance. What are those simple things that I can change that don't cost a lot of money? I can just get out, get them back in, and they're never going to cause me a problem. So that's number one. That's the proactive piece. And then you have the preventative maintenance. Those are the things that we traditionally do. My question with preventive maintenance is, have you ever purified your PMs? Have you ever went in and looked at, are they really working? For example, how can you be 100% compliant to your PMs and your uptime not get better? Well, that's a good question, right? Are we doing the right PMs? Do we need to add PMs? Do we need to change the way we do them? I'll tell you, a big part of what we need to think about is who schedules your PMs, because it's very difficult for manufacturing to schedule PMs, because we've taught them for years and years that they need to run. They need to make they need to make their machines run. They need to make product, run. Stopping for preventive maintenance is not what we've taught them to do. Who should be in charge of scheduling that? Now, if you're running the 12 steps, then the materials organizations need to be scheduled the PMs, because they're the ones that know when you've got a slot, when it goes. Now, that brings a whole nother question of communication. So we've got to communicate. The materials people have to communicate with the maintenance people and have to communicate with the production people to figure out when that's going to happen. And we need to be prepared for those too, and run our preventive maintenance as almost like a SMED. Have everything that we can do external done. When that machine shuts down, boom, we do the PM and boom, we're back out. But who's running the data to see what PMs are working? And that's one of the things that we're seeing now in the small and the medium size manufacturers, is we've got this data, but we don't know how to use it. My daughter, she's shown some interest in going into the family business, and she's about to graduate from the engineering school at the University of Kentucky with a degree in computer engineering, something with computers. But she's big in with databases, and so we've had lots of conversations. And part of it, we've started a new venture in the machine learning world, where we can take this data and figure out how to tell a better story to these small and medium size manufacturers that don't have the resources to be able to do so. But this is a big one for the databases for preventive maintenance. What did I fix? What did I do? And did it have an impact on uptime? So this is a planning and database issue. That leads us to the next one. So far we have proactive, preventative, and now we're going to have reactive. So, you know, when you've got data and you've got a machine, you know what's going to break down. Not all the time, but let me rephrase. If it breaks down, you got a pretty good idea it's one of these 10 things, right? What are the top 10 reasons this machine breaks down? And that's what I want to do. I want to set up what I call an ambulance, and it's a cart that has enough parts to fix those top 10 issues. So this cart's sitting there ready to go. Whenever I have a problem that I didn't expect, now I'm going to have the ambulance go and check these top 10. You know, if it's not one of those top 10, it's probably a bigger issue than I can fix immediately anyway. But I don't want to get to where I have to go out there, try to figure out what's wrong. I'd much rather have a playbook of, here are the top 10 issues. Maybe it's just top 5, but these top 10 issues, and then I've got a cart that has everything I need to fix those top 10 issues. Because as we run, and many of you out there, you know this already, right? Every second counts. My brother and I, we wrote an article one time on a pillow that cost $33,000. Now, stick with me here. We were in a hospital and we were watching a nurse, and we were in the emergency room, and a patient came in and left, and then she had to get a new pillow, which seems like a simple thing, right? But when you go to a emergency room, you really don't want to lay on somebody else's pillow. And so we watched her and she had to go get a pillow. Well, she was gone for a while, and she came back, and I asked her, like, what's going on here? And so she said, well, I had to go get the pillow. I'm like, well, how often do you have to go get some? Because there's parts in the emergency room, right? And then they have their storage. She goes, we got to go get something about once an hour. Well, how long does it take you to go get something? She said 10 minutes. And I looked at her and I'm, because in manufacturing, right, 10 minutes is an eternity. Well, I thought there's nothing that takes 10 minutes in manufacturing. So I was very doubtful. So I followed her. Sure enough, 3 minutes to walk there, which is 3 minutes back. That puts us at 6 minutes. Took her 2 minutes to find what she needed in there. All right. She found that. Well, now we're at 8 minutes. Takes her a minute to get to check it out of there. So I gave her a minute. I'm like, okay, I'll give you the 10 minute. Well, if you have to go once a hour, well, that's 10 minutes an hour, right? And you work 24 hours a day in an emergency room. Well, that's 240 minutes a day. Well, you work 7 days a week. You work 52 weeks a year. Now you're looking at, man, that's a lot of money to have somebody walk down there and get something that should already be there. And as we go and we deal with machines and as our customer base becomes more picky, for lack of a better term, and we're having to produce smaller lots faster, all these seconds add up. I don't want to be down any more than I have to. So that gets us to that reactive piece with that ambulance. I've already set it up. If there's a problem, boom. Now, AI is opening up much bigger channels. Because now, if I've got a newer machine and it's got the AI on it, it's probably going to tell me what the problem is. But for a lot of us out there, we've got these old machines that we're dealing with. We're not going to get rid of them. So how can we think about running this machine so I have a plan for the reactive maintenance? So we've got proactive maintenance, preventative maintenance, and reactive maintenance. All right. So proactive, planning for the light bulbs. Preventative, taking care of that machine like they told me in the manual. Reactive, I've got my ambulance. Well, that leads us to the 12 steps. And one thing that I find that we could all do a lot better on is SMED. SMED is single minute exchange of dye. It's a big deal. And recently, for some reason, we're starting to really see how big a deal that is with some of the companies that we're working with, because you start thinking about cutting your changeover time in half. Well, that should have a direct result in your inventory levels being cut if we do it right. So when we're looking at the whole overall machine health plan using SMED and then linking that directly to the optimization of the machine, learning what my EPEI is, how often, what's my mean time to replenish, that's going to lead to what the size of that work in process supermarket is, which is going to lead to trigger points, which then I have on production pull board, which is a flat changeover wheel. So I end up with this domino effect as I look at my changeover time and I really get better at it. The reason it's a good time to look at that when you're implementing the 12 steps is because you're trying to figure out what your best changeover sequence is. In other words, you are drawing a changeover wheel, and understanding your changeover sequence is very important. But if you're going to go through that methodology, you might as well go through with SMED and take away all of your external stuff, get it all, get it standard, and then go in when the machine shuts down and do the internal stuff that you have to do. I think we don't like to think about our machines until they break down, is what I think we do a lot of times. But our machines, the better they run sometimes, the better we're going to run. And by looking at the machine as a holistic piece of the value stream and taking a planned approach to develop a plan for that machine that encompasses all of these things, that's where we get this machine health plan. So to summarize here about the machine health plan, of course, there's lots more details that go into this, but it's definitely worth giving some thought for you guys out there that are, you have a lot of machinery, you're dealing with I don't know if labor shortage is the right word, but it certainly seems that nobody we work with is having an easy time getting people. So as you go through that, look at this machine health plan, you're looking at number one, proactive maintenance. Number two, preventative maintenance. Number three, reactive maintenance. And number four, your SMED. And number five is where we get into the optimization of that machine, that whole process of your EPEI, your changeover sequence, your trigger points, and how do you keep that market healthy? Many of you have been through the 12-step training. That's that piece that we spend a lot of time on talking about. Here's your buffer stock. Here's your safety stock. What is the size of cards in the loop? And our goal is to set that whole system up with your work in process machine so you don't ever have to schedule it, right? That we can get it on autopilot as long as you follow the rules. And that's one of the things that makes the 12 steps so successful, is all you have to do is follow the rules if we set it up properly. So just as we conclude here, you know, it's a little shorter podcast when it's just me. I wish I could talk to you guys in person. I know so many of you, and it's always fun to get together. If you guys ever want to, you know, have a Zoom call or something, shoot me an email. You know, we can catch up a little bit. But just think about your machine health plans, right? You've got proactive, preventative, reactive, all right? And don't forget about that ambulance. And then your SMED stuff. Sometimes we'll use a pit crew to go in, and that's all they do is they change over those machines. And then once I get that knowledge, now I can move into that optimization piece where I can develop that system to keep those markets healthy. That will lead to being able to level schedule your value streams, run with less inventory, hopefully, and be able to produce the right amount at the right time at the right quality. Thank you all for listening. It's always fun to do these. I don't know who we'll have on next month, but this is Chris Harris with Harris Lean Systems. If we can help you with anything, just let us know. And I'm sure I'll see a lot of you in the future. This has been the Leaning Out with Dr. Chris podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions or you have any ideas for the show or you have a question you'd like for us to answer, please let us know. Send us an email at podcast@harrisleansystems.com. That's podcast@harrisleansystems.com. Also, feel free to check us out online at www.harrisleansystems.com.